Welcome to the Breaking Through Darkness podcast. The discussions and topics covered in this podcast are based on my personal experiences, research, and opinions only, and should not be considered as a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Breaking Through Darkness is meant for informational and awareness purposes only. I am not a licensed therapist or a mental health professional. If you're struggling right now, you're not alone. I encourage you to seek the advice of a qualified mental health professional or licensed therapist. Please check out our website at breakingthroughdarkness.com for a list of resources.
A friend recently shared with me an article, actually two articles, but the first one was White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, and it was written by Dr. Peggy McIntosh, originally in 1988, but the one that was published first was Peace and Freedom magazine in July-August of 1989, pages 10 and 12. And I think this probably has to be one of the best articles that I have ever read on white privilege. And really, the big takeaway from it is, after we understand and know white privilege, what will we do to end it? And I think that's been the big question ever since the 60s, when it was originally brought up by Martin Luther King Jr. and others even before that. And in this particular version, there were notes for facilitators. And I just would highly recommend that you go through it and look at it. And really, it's a discussion of how those of us in white America can change the societal norms that block out communities of color or minimize their ability or don't let them in to certain financial institutions. And that can be the case for women, that can be the case for indigenous people, that can be the case for black or African American men and women, for Jewish men and women, for Asian men and women, for Middle Eastern men and women, for transgender men and women, for LGBTQ communities, any community that is looked on as one less or this relates to. And, you know, I've always thought that white privilege did not apply to poorer America, people that are born dirt poor, that don't have really any means, but happen to be ethnically white. And so I came across another article, actually the same friend sent it, and it's by Gina Crossley Corcoran. And she talks about her outrage in reading initially Dr. McIntosh's article, and really explains well how some of the things that are written in that article are not necessarily true for poor white America. As an example, one of the points in the initial article by Dr. McIntosh was that if I want to, I can be pretty sure of finding a publisher for this piece on white privilege. That's not necessarily true for a person who grew up and lives in poor America. But this author, who was raised in poor America and then through a number of different things, including hard work, really came to understand that even poor Americans do have white privilege. And one of the questions at the very end of the article asks, "Tell me, are you a white person made uncomfortable by the term white privilege? Does a more nuanced approach help you see your own privilege more clearly?" And the whole point of this article is that there are so many things that relate to white privilege. And there really are a million ways, as it says, that white people experience privilege. And the definition of intersectionality really defines class, gender, ability, sex, sexual orientation, citizenship, and does a really good job of giving the nuances for privilege in America, and specifically white privilege, and then even more specifically white privilege as it relates to men versus white women, which is significantly different. I'm fascinated by this subject because one of my goals that I've understood over the last couple years of dealing with mental health is my desire for justice and my desire to understand true justice and equality in America related to all Americans, related to all immigrants, so naturalized or natural American citizens, and the hardworking immigrants and people that cross the border and go back home for work that are here legally in the United States. I think it's a tragedy that all of these discussions have become so politicized. And we talk so much about our borders being such critical areas of chaos and crime, when really that's a propaganda technique. Because most of the people who cross the border and want to do illegal things cross the northern border, which nobody ever talks about, because those are white communities on the northern border. On the southern border, that's communities that are Hispanics, Latino, Latina, and so they are communities of color, and they are looked on as one down in the United States, and that needs to change because a lot of those people provide for their families by work that they do in the United States legally. And so in this big, broad connection of white privilege, I've really come to the conclusion that the two terms white supremacy and white privilege generally create so much conflict in a person that you're talking to that they shut down completely. Now, one of the things that I would argue is that if somebody does do that, in all honesty, just proof that white privilege exists in their life and they just don't want to confront it. They don't want to understand how we can make it better as white Americans. And in my mind, that is the most critical goal to keep our country surviving, and not just surviving, but thriving. Because if we don't understand that communities of color bring so much breadth and width and depth to our America, then we've totally missed the whole concept of the melting pot of America. And people have come from all over the world to live in America. And then as people moved west, that became more of a melting pot. Where in the East, communities live with communities. There isn't a lot of mix between Italians, between Germans, between Czechoslovakians, between Hispanics, between Puerto Ricans, who are Americans and have American privilege because they're part of America. You know, for whatever reason on the East, there does seem to be a segregation that's built in over hundreds of years. I've lived there. I've lived in multiple states in the East and in the South, and I have felt it. I've seen it. I've not exactly understood it, but it is a reality of that part of the country, and even in the Midwest, a lot of that is true as well. In the West, not so much, but to say that racism doesn't exist in the West, to say that white privilege doesn't exist in the West, is just an inaccurate statement. As long as white communities refuse to face white privilege, racism and white privilege are going to continue in a way that's not inherently positive. But the reality of white privilege is it's a condition. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean it's a thing that I control. I am born into it. I had no say in the matter. But now in life, what am I going to do about it to make my white privilege less and make communities of color more in my eyes and the people's eyes around me. So one of my goals is to have discussions that ask tough questions where people can really think about their thoughts and ideas. You know, one thing that's mentioned in one of the articles is giving everyone, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 minutes and just talk, just hearing their, you know, what has happened in their life, what they have realized, what white privilege means to them, what it doesn't mean to them. That brings on at least a discussion that in a lot of communities, in a lot of areas, whites refuse to have. And that's where I really struggle, because what I have been calling and what I will continue to call the largely white American church struggles with this fact. You know, white supremacy is a reality in the world, whether it's neo-Nazism, whether it's Proud Boys, whether it's, you know, you name it, there are groups all over the country that believe that Germany in World War One and World War Two was correct, and that they will continue the fight for the supremacy of whiteness, that people who are born of color are less than. They're not as intelligent. They're not as capable. And that's just factually not accurate. So I'm going to go through the 7 points that are brought out in the second article that I mentioned, Explaining White Privilege in Poor America. Citizenship, simply being born in this country, affords you certain privileges non-citizens will never access. Class, being born into a financially stable family can help guarantee your health, happiness, safety, education, intelligence, and future opportunities. But how do I broaden that to communities that don't have that naturally? Sexual orientation, being born straight, every state in this country affords you privileges that non-straight folks have to fight the Supreme Court for. Sex, by being born male, you can assume that you can walk through a parking garage without worrying you'll be raped and that a defense attorney will then blame it on what you were wearing. Ability, by being born able-bodied, you probably don't have to plan your life around handicap access, braille, or other special needs. Gender, by being born cisgendered, you aren't worried that the restroom or locker room you use will invoke public outrage. As you can see, belonging to one or more category of privilege, especially being a straight, white, middle-class, able-bodied male, can be like winning a lottery you didn't even know you were playing. But this is not to imply that any form of privilege is exactly the same as another, or that people lacking in one area of privilege understand what it's like to be lacking in other areas. Race discrimination is not equal to sex discrimination, and so forth. And this is where I think I've missed the mark, is I've mixed categories a number of times, even in recent podcasts. And I think I understand more now what was very vague to me. And really, over the last 5 to 8 years, I really fought to understand more by listening to communities of color and engaging with them to the best of my ability. And I do understand now, at least in part, the nuances that come about with privilege and with racism and with discrimination, whether it's sexual or racial. And the reality is that being a white American, I am privileged in many ways. But that's not a bad thing. What makes it bad is if I do nothing to help people who are not white male Americans have the same opportunities as I have had and that I will continue to have. I am privileged. I am proud to be a white American man. But I'm also much more understanding than I was a decade ago. And I think this has really helped my outlook on mental health. My life is so much more full with the understanding that came about by reading these articles. And that's the final thing that I want to leave you with, is there's so many things that are out there to read. And you need to choose the ones that are of benefit to you and leave the rest behind. I do not believe in book burning. I do not believe in book bans. I think that's ridiculous. I think that people in this country should be and are allowed to write whatever they want to. It doesn't mean it's a benefit to everyone, and we have to choose. But the reality is, if people want to burn books that include sex before marriage, that they want to eliminate killing and rage and murder and being one up, then you're going to have to burn the Bible, because all of that exists through every piece of the Bible. And the takeaway is, that's the human condition. That's what we live in every day. And for parents or anyone else to say that they can protect their children from these things is just not an accurate statement. And I am not saying that it's not important to control to some level the internet access for kids, because that can be such a dangerous thing today. And this immediate information age has become one of the most difficult things to manage and control in families. And so every parent, every family, every person has to do that on their own. And I do think that that's an area that does need to be controlled to some level. But anytime the government tries to do it, it's going to be bad, because the government really doesn't understand the rights of a broad group of people. They focus on the rights of their constituents, who usually look exactly like they do and believe exactly like they do and live exactly like they do. They don't understand that their representation needs to go much broader than that. So anyway, in concluding, I just think it's important to understand all of these things in America, in the world, and how we can make it better. I do think that there are opportunities to make our world better. And this is one of those areas that I think is critically important for the future of America.
Thanks for listening to the Breaking Through Darkness podcast. Be sure to tune in regularly for new episodes and blogs each week. If you're facing struggles, you're not alone. Please reach out. I would love to hear your story. It's important to note that I am not a licensed therapist. However, there are numerous professionals in your area ready to assist you. Visit our website's resource page at breakingthroughdarkness.com for a list of valuable connections. Always remember, you are worthy. You are resilient. You are awesome. You were created for extraordinary things. Find your purpose and shine bright in this world.